The 139th Psalm is what we're going to be studying tonight, and probably have more information than I have time. So we'll just see what happens about that. I'm glad that you're here tonight, because I believe the Lord's going to say something to us out of this psalm. This is an amazing psalm. And the more you read it, and the more you focus as you read it, the more amazing and the more powerful it becomes. The more truth you find in it, the more comfort you receive from it. And so let's just dive into this tonight and see what the Lord wants to say to us. 139 Psalm, verse number 1. I'm gonna read this psalm because I feel like it's that powerful. How many believe the word's powerful? So follow along with me. Stay engaged. I know it's the hardest thing in the world to do when somebody's reading is to stay focused. But stay focused as we read through this. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all of my ways. Think about this. You're acquainted. You know, you understand, you're well acquainted with all of my ways. Amen. This is not only comforting, this is also challenging. God knows all of our ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. That'd preach right there. Amen. There's not a word on my tongue that he doesn't know altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot even attain it. I can't even come to grips with all of the understanding of what I'm even writing here, he's saying. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. So if I say, surely the darkness, let just darkness surround me. But even the night, the darkness will become light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Think about that. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Think about that. The darkness and the light are both alike to God. Your darkest moment, your brightest day, it's all alike to the God that you serve. There's never a moment so low that God can't pick you up out of. Never a moment so high or so bright that God cannot understand while you are in it. They are the same to him. You know why they are the same to him? Because God's greater than the light. God's greater than the night. Amen. And when God appears, light or darkness just fades away and we see him. So I want you to grab this. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. Amen. If we believe the word, some of the things that we argue and fuss about in our culture today, they hold no bearing on the fact and the truth of what God has already said. Amen. We get into the arguments and debates about abortion. Get settled. God knows us. He formed us. He made us. Come on now. Our frame was not hidden from Him when we were made in His secret. He saw your substance while you were yet unformed. Amen. And in your book, they all were written, the days that were fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew you before you knew. How's that? God knew you before you were anything. He had already written about you in His book. Amen. He'd already written about your days in His book because He knew you. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Think about this before we move on. His thoughts. George, back up to verse 17, would you? How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Verse 18, if I would count your thoughts to me, your thoughts on me, the times that you think of me and you communicate that to me, they would be more in number than the sand. That's how much God thinks of you and has thoughts toward you. When I awake, I'm still with you. Verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And we know in the Word, New Covenant tells us that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. And I want to tell you, you need to get a hatred of your enemy. That's not men. It's not wicked men and women now, but it is the enemy of your soul. And we need to quit playing with him. We need to quit trying to just flirt with our enemy. We need to have a hatred of him, if you want to put it in that terminology, of the enemy of our soul, and ask God to give us full deliverance. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What an amazing psalm. I mean, you read that and you begin to hear and receive what God thinks of you. Now let me even go one step farther than that, because this psalm was written, it was for the chief musician, a psalm of David. This psalm was written in the time frame of David, but all that I just read to you came to complete fullness and came to complete enlightenment and complete understanding in Christ. When Jesus came, all this that I just read to you was walking this earth and was among us. The God that thought of us came and walked among us. The God that formed us came to be like us. His only begotten Son. He came to die in our place, to destroy and to defeat our enemies. This psalm, as great as it is in the context that it would have been in David's day, it's even greater in the context of our day, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And now we see this played out, because no greater love has ever been given than this, than a man would lay down his life for another. Amen. And Jesus not only died for his brother, not only died for his friends, not only died for his family, but he died for his enemies. Those that were enemies against him, those that would not receive him, those that would not turn to him. He still loved them enough to die for them. And no matter where you go, Jesus said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you go, how high you go, how low you go, wherever you find yourself, he's with us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Anybody hearing what I'm telling you? All of these great things that I just read to you were brought together in Christ Jesus and laid out for us to see. He walked this out. He walked out the fullness of the Word because he was the Word. Amen. He would know things that other men could not know because the Spirit would reveal it to him in those moments. He knew about people. He looked beyond the exterior and saw their thoughts and saw their hearts. Amen. And he is here with us. And he cares for us. And we read in this scripture what God has planned for us. Our life is planned by God. And it is found in Christ. So let me say this to you. Our life is planned by God, but the plan of God is only found in Christ. So the only way you walk in the plan of God is to walk in Christ. The only way you walk in the fullness of what this psalm says to you is to find yourself in Christ. Because in Christ you find God's plan. In Christ, he knows you either way. But when you are in Christ, you know his plan. Amen. He knows you whether you're in Christ or not. But if you are in Christ, you know his way. And you have his victory. And so I just want you to catch this tonight. The life or the harvest that he has ahead of you is dependent on you remaining in Christ. There's no song that's been rattling around in my mind as I've been preparing for the lesson tonight. And the song is the old song. Mylon Lefevre wrote this song years ago when he was just 16 years old, I believe it was. I looked it up to see it. That was quite a few years back now. And some of you won't even know who Mylon Lefevre is, but he was big in my day in the Christian music circles and all of that. But he wrote the song when he was a young man without him. Probably most of y'all will know that song. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without him, I would be dying. And without him, I'd be enslaved. And without him, life would be hopeless. But thank God, through Jesus, I'm saved. And then the chorus says, Jesus, come on now, if I could sing, I'd belt out and sing this, but I'm not going to do that to you. Oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Come on now. This is what we're talking about. This, as we come to Christmas, this is what it's all about. That baby in the manger is the fulfillment of the revelation of Psalms 139. Amen. That Christ child laying in that stable, laying in the trough, laying wherever you picture him, that baby that would be laying there, he is the embodiment and the fulfillment of this word. And he is the Savior of the world. And he is the light of the world. And he has come to give us light and to give us life and to give us hope and to give us revelation. And he's come to bring us back and reconcile us unto the Father, where we can live out the Father's plan for now and eternity. And without him, none of that is possible. I'm going to talk to you about just a couple of things here that as I'm reading through this that jump into my mind. And I'm not going to take the time to go back and read back through the scriptures. You can just mark them down and you can go look at it on your own and absorb a little bit of what is it that I'm saying here. But in verses 1 through 6, the thought that hit my mind in this passage in verses 1 through 6, as I'm reading through that and I'm reading it with the understanding of all of this is found in Christ and what he's given to us and how he brings us back into fellowship with the Father and the plan of the Father and the life from the Father. And all of this speaks to me that Christ measured our faith. The Father, and in revealing through Christ, has measured the faith that we would need. Now we find that in Romans chapter 12 verse 3. We've all been given a measure of faith. And the measure of faith is whatever faith we need, God has already given. That's the measure of faith, because Christ is the measure of faith. Amen. And so the faith that we need, and here's what that can say to us. He knows what we needed, he knows what we need, and he knows what we will need, and he has prepared Christ, and the measure of faith that he has revealed to us is enough for anything that we face. Let me say this to you, because I think we need to catch this. Whatever you go through, whatever you find yourself dealing with, the faith you need to overcome is revealed to you. The question becomes, what do you do with it? Do you live by faith or do you live by sight? Whatever people will say, well, I just don't have enough faith to get there. Sure you do. You've got Christ on your side. You might need a greater revelation of him. The revelation of Christ needs to become greater than your own physical sight. Amen. But he has measured out the faith needed in your life. There is never a moment, I say this all the time when I come across this and I'm talking about this. I say this all the time, so some of you will probably remember me saying this. But I tell you, don't ever say you just don't have enough faith. Because then you're calling God a liar. Because the Bible says he's given all of us a measure of faith. And God doesn't give anything that's too short or not enough. Amen. That's not how God gives. God doesn't give not quite enough. So he didn't give you enough faith to believe him for salvation. But then he didn't quite give you enough faith to live in the victory over your situation right now. That doesn't even make sense if you'll just think about it a little bit. When you say, I just don't have faith to believe that. No, it's just you're putting your faith in something you're seeing rather than what God has given in Christ his Son. The measure of faith is without measure. Amen. Because Christ is the measure of faith. He gave him without measure. He's given the Spirit without measure. Amen. Come on, somebody. This is good teaching, preaching, whatever you want to call it. He measured it out. He knows what you needed. He knows what you will need. You need now. And he knows what you will need. And he is prepared to always provide. He's already given, but he will provide to you and say, here's what you have need of. Do you know God knew the faith Abraham would need before Abraham knew he needed that faith? Because listen, I preached about a Sunday, but do you know God promised Abraham a son? And while Abraham and Sarah were all giddy about that when she found herself pregnant, what God knew that they didn't know is the faith that Abraham was going to need in order to live with that son. But God had already placed that in him, and it was yet to be discovered. But when the right time came, the faith God had put in him that he needed would be discovered. What I'm trying to say to you is this. God knows you so well that you don't even know the things that are ahead of you, but God's already put in you what you need to face those when they arise. So don't ever say, I just don't think I could take that, or I don't think I could make it through this. God knows, and God has measured it out, and God has sent to you everything you need through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. And he's given to us that way. The word tells us that he knows our sitting down and our rising up. He understands our thoughts from afar off. He comprehends our path and our lying down. He's acquainted with all of our ways. So when you say there's not enough faith, you're saying God didn't know you well enough. Come on now. That's just the truth. That's what you're ultimately saying. It's not that you're intending to say that, but that's what you're saying. And when I say you, I'm talking to me as well. That's what we're saying when we make statements like that. When we say, well, I just don't have the faith to make it through this. I just can't do that. I just can't do this. Well, then you're saying God didn't know you as well as he said he did. Because he said he was acquainted with all of our ways. That's exactly right. You've put more faith in what you can't do than what you can do through Christ. Amen. Because he said he's acquainted with all of our ways. I want you to think about this for a moment. If God's acquainted with all of our ways, now we can see that two ways. We can look at it and say he's acquainted with all of my ways. That means he knows all those things about me and the way I do things. Or we can look at it as God is acquainted with every path that you're going to run into in your life. All the ways that you can go, all the roads that you're going to walk down, all the things that you're going to come up against, all the way. He is acquainted with all of our ways, and he has provided an answer for every one of those, and the answer is faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's measured it out. He said, I know all of your ways. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. Amen. And he even says in verse 4, there's not a word on my tongue, but Lord, you know it all together. And you've hedged me in front and in back, and you've put your hand upon my head. Come on. Now hold on. So he knows my path, my ways, my thoughts. About the ways. He knows the words. But here's what he does. He's hedged me in. He's in front of me and behind me. And he put his hand on my head. Are you getting this picture yet? There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, you know it all together. Verse 5. You've hedged me behind and before. And you laid your hand upon me. So every way you walk, he's in front of you, behind you, and he's got his hand on you. That doesn't leave anything else other than what you're walking on. Amen? And so how many of you, when your kids were little, I do this now with my grandson, when they're at the right size... Emily, she's still just about the right size for this. I can pick on her since she's here tonight. When your kids are little and you wanted them to go somewhere, you just put your hand right on their head and you just walk them along with you. Amen? Right? And you can just guide them around because if their head turns, you can just turn their head right back and just keep them going again. Amen? You can just put it right there, and you just want. That's the picture I get. God, he knows the path I'm on, so he's protecting in front of me and protecting behind me, and he's just got his hand on top of me so that when I start looking off, he'll just turn my head back around and say, no, we're going this way. And we'll say, oh, I want to go. No, just keep walking right here. It's all going to be all right. I'm going to keep. Come on, somebody. Do you hear this? God knows you. And I said I've got way more information than I have time. And so I'm not even going to try to make it through all of this. I didn't come with the expectation that I would. Because I've got about four of these different aspects. So I'm just going to stay right here. And we'll just stop at when I get finished right here with this measured faith. He knew what Abraham. It's as if God said, you're going to a land. I know the path that's going to take you there. I've protected you on your journey. I'm protecting you from those that would try to sneak up behind you. And I've just got my hand on you, and we're walking together. Because if he's got his hand on me, that means he's with me. Amen. And so he's with me, and he's leading me, and he's protecting me, and he's given me the faith that's needed to just believe him and to trust him and to look to him. That's what makes this so great, because in Christ, this is how our life is to operate. Well, this is living by faith. Living by faith is not some empty hope. That's not faith. It's not just some uneducated guess that we call faith. It's not some silliness that we say, well, I've got faith for something that doesn't even mean anything. To live by faith means to live within the structure of the God that knows you. To live in the promises of Christ, who came to die for you and to dwell in you, and his Spirit that will lead you. That's living by faith, right? And that means, living by faith means God's in front of me, making a way. He's behind me, protecting my life. And he's with me, guiding me. And the minute I can see that and I can believe that, then I can walk anywhere. No wonder Solomon would say, when he saw his bride, he would say, I feel like I could leap over a wall and run through a troop. Right? See, because when we get the understanding of who's with us and who's in front of us and who's behind us, then there is nothing that can stop us. And my faith can rest in that. That whatever I come up against, whatever my path is, God's already seen it. Whatever my way is in front of me, God already knows it. He's fashioned words that I can speak that can be the right words. He's told me, and in my mind, he can give me thoughts that can be the right thoughts. Because he and let me try to get this out to you. He knows you're sitting down and you're rising up. He understands your thoughts. And so he gives you the right way to think. So he tells us in Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Because I know your thoughts. I know how fleshly thoughts work. And I know fleshly thoughts are going to lead you astray. So think on these things. Right? Whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are just, whatever things are right, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. So he helps us with our thoughts because he knows our thoughts. This is what, and it took me a long time to come to this understanding, but it has changed my life since I've had this understanding. God knows my thoughts, not because he desires to judge me because of my poor thinking, but because he wants to correct my thinking. Here's what changed my perspective of that when I began to understand it. Because I used to feel condemned by my thoughts. Because I just couldn't get my thought life in order. I just couldn't stay focused well enough. And it was a condemning thought to me. I don't know if you've ever had that or not. But quite a while of my life, I was condemned by my thought life. Okay, and all of a sudden the reality finally grabs hold of me. God knows my thoughts. A teacher knows the answers and knows that you will probably not have all the right answers. And so they begin to teach you the right answers. That's not condemnation. That's not condemning you because you don't have the right answers. It's the teacher saying, but I know the right answer and I'm going to teach this to you. Amen. And so God knows my thoughts and he knows that they are twisted without Christ. He knows that my flesh is enmity against him. He knows that these thoughts are what they are in our flesh nature. But he, knowing the right path, gives us the right way to think by giving us the same mind that was in Christ. And he teaches us, think on these things. The problem is, many of us are poor students. Have you ever noticed bad students always try to blame the teacher? maybe not always. That may not always happen. But most of the time, bad students, they're always, well, they didn't teach me. Right? Well, no, they just didn't want to learn. They were set in their own way. They weren't paying attention. Hello. Now, I know this is new stuff in the modern world. But growing up in the day I grew up in, there was none of this stuff of coming home and saying, well, it's the teacher's fault. The rule around my house was, if you get in trouble at school, I don't care if you did anything wrong or not. If you get in trouble at school, you're getting busted when you get home. That's just the way I was raised. I survived it. I made it through, and I'm relatively normal. I get a little nervous when the belt breaks out. But other than that, I'm pretty normal. What happens is a bad student will try to blame everything. It was poor teaching, and they say, and we do the same thing with God. Well, I just can't do the things that I'm supposed to do, and so it's not. I just can't help it. So I'm no reason trying because I just keep failing. And God sends His Spirit to us and His Word to us to tell us you don't have to live that way. You can change your thoughts if you'll look to Christ, if you'll live in Christ, if you'll be led by the Spirit. You'll begin to think on the right things. And when you think on the right things, set your eyes on things above. Set your mind on things above. Think on the right things. And your life will begin to go in the right direction in Christ. And so it's not that He is condemning us. It is that He is teaching us. He knows the right answer. He's all around us and He's leading us. And all He wants us to do is to hear what He has given us and to apply it through Christ. We can't do it on our own. Outside of Christ, none of this works. But when you are in Christ, then you have the power of Christ. And the will of God can be performed in your life. He knew what Abraham would need. He knew what Joseph would need. Amen. How many believe Joseph, his faith was tried? Have you ever felt like that? Every time you overcome one thing, something else hits you. Joseph had to feel that way. It's not recorded in the Word. And maybe he didn't. But when I read his life, I just think he has to feel that way. First of all, he has a dream of being lifted up and brothers and mom and dad bowing down to him. Stupidly, he told the dream. You don't tell your older brothers that they're all going to bow down to you. Eh? I don't have an older brother, but I'm smart enough to know that one. He told his dream, and the next thing he knows, he's in a pit. And he's being sold into slavery. Separated from his family. God, why did you give me that dream just to be thrown into a pit? And then he's sold into slavery, and he begins to rise up in Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife lies on him. Amen. I can just see the roller coaster. Every time he gets life going right, something hits him and he goes back down. But you know what? God knew every step of the way what Joseph would face. And he was before him, making the way. He was behind him, protecting him from the enemy. And he had his hand upon him, and he was just walking with him. And as long as Joseph walked with God, kept living through the promise of God, then Joseph would continue to rise back up and until finally he fulfilled God's plan. God measures our faith. He knows, and He prepares, and He plans. Noah, Moses, and He provided for them. We're going to talk some more about this because I've got more to go. But we're going to stop tonight with this. You need to understand that in Christ, Christ is the measure of faith. The Father knows your way. He's measured faith. He's given it unlimitedly in Christ, and He's given Him to us. We are now in Him. And the Father says, I measured out everything you need. All you got to do now is walk in my plan. Walk looking to Jesus. Walk in my, I know you, I'm with you, and I'm for you. And the psalmist writes here in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. I can't even wrap my mind around a God that would be that way. but he is. Because that's how much he loves us. Amen. And he's with you. And when you drift and your mind begins to fight against you, you bring back into understanding. You take yourself back into the Word. You take yourself back into the thought of Christ and him crucified and what he accomplished and who you are in him. And you take your mind off of your old ways and off of your old life. And you look to Jesus and you trust him with your life. And you submit that life to him. And then you say, walk through me. And he begins to walk through you. And I want to tell you, the more you do that, you talk about faith increasing. It's not the faith of Christ that increases, but Christ's faith in you increases the more you walk in him. So, understand. And during this Christmas season, understand. He is the fulfillment of the revelation of the measure of faith that God has given for you to succeed in relationship with him. Stand your feet with me tonight. That you will not succeed in relationship with the Father outside of Christ. You can't. No possible way. You are alienated from God outside of Christ. You can't think good enough thoughts. You can't walk good enough on your path because outside of Christ, you don't have the ability to walk your ways in God's plan. People will argue and say there's many ways to God. No, there's not. There's only one. And his name is Jesus. There's not many other ways. You can try to be a good person. You can try to be as good as you want. A lot of people do that. I'm glad they do that. I'm glad we all try to be as good as we can be. But there's only one way to reconciliation with the Father. And that's walking in his Christ. Because he knows us and he knew what we needed, and what we needed was Christ. Amen. What all of us need is Christ. What I need every day is Christ. I don't need more strength. I need more Christ. Amen. I don't need more understanding. That's great. I just need more Jesus. Because the more Jesus I get, the more understanding comes. And the more strength I find. And the more revelation I walk in. And the more victory I find myself in. Because I'm walking with the God that knows me. So Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know everything about me. And you knew what I needed. And you provided it through Christ. Amen. When we celebrate on Sunday, and then when we celebrate as families on Tuesday, what we are celebrating is God knowing what we needed and giving him in the fullness of time so that we could be reconciled to him. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father,